You adults just lost out. You got the short end of the stick. Anyway, it is good to be here this morning. And it's exciting when you can open the Word of God and actually, instead of having excuses like, well, that's the mystery of God or things like that, you can actually have the answers in your hand that we have. And very fortunate to be in this area, and I just appreciate all that are here. And this church has really been been just an awesome benefit to us that are in Ringgold, Georgia. Knowing we have friends we can call on and that we can worship with and we can fellowship with. This morning, just as someone who has been a rightly divider probably for the past 3 years, and I've pastored an assembly now for a whopping 18 months. I thought about last night on the way home, what did I say to a congregation that has more than likely held this doctrine for probably triple that time? What I say to a group of men that have been preaching this doctrine for many years more than I have? And I came to figure out on my way home last night, as I was thinking, I don't know a lot of good jokes. Obed has the best jokes. And Steve remembers more real life examples and stories more than anybody. I can't remember half the stories he remembers. So I realize I need to share with you the same way that I would any other time. I don't have enough money to buy Obed's jokes. And Steve won't give me any of his stories, so this is what you got. But the best thing that I could possibly do is share those very things that I know that I'm confident in. There were some scriptures last night that Barry and Obed shared that I used this past Wednesday night. And there now, because of last night, I may have to go back and teach that again. They're even more clear than I had noticed before. When you are doctrinally different the past 3 years than you have been for 20 years, you don't have a lot of messages saved up that you can just pull something out of your pocket. I used to get away with that, but a lot of times I find myself going home and the very things that I study through the week are really the very things that I need to teach. And I don't have to entertain anymore. It's an awesome and a great feeling. When you work a full-time job and pastor a church, you preach usually the very things that you study, or at least I do. And so on Wednesday nights, we've been studying some of the hardest scriptures, I believe, that I have ever come across as rightly dividing. But they've been hard in a way that I've never broke them down the way I should, but they've been the most relieving scriptures that I've also ever had since I've been rightly dividing the Word. I've become so strict with Paul's letters and telling so many people that this is our doctrine, which Paul's letters are for our doctrine. They are our mail. I know that's clear. But the first three chapters of Romans a lot of times would confuse me because Paul is not talking about specifically our doctrine. And so as I would read those, it could really confuse me. So instead, I realized there's also a lot of history that the Apostle Paul gives to bring out what he believes, to clarify who and what and where we belong and who we are. And so I would say to a congregation that there's areas we need to be careful in. In studying these scriptures and listening to some of y'all use them last night, it has given me the very thing I think that would be important as a body that we should not ever forget, that I have forgotten before. Although there are truths that many do not know because of ignorance, the only thing different between us and those who don't know how to rightly divide, or those who don't know the truth, the only thing different in them and us is the fact that we trust in what Christ did alone. And thus, I think that's very important for us to remember. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, in verse 9, there's a question that Paul asks after he has given a lot of history. And in chapter 3, verse 9, he says, "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Now what I want to look at is what we need not to become as a body of believers that believe in the grace message. And history can show us a lot about many people, but not only about many people that, if we're not careful, we always point the finger to, but ourselves. And there are things today I catch myself doing. I mean, this is, we're the kind of people that we watch and we learn, and I even catch myself in the simple things in life today that I can become. Not that they're bad or anything. I think about as I grew up, my dad, dad's here by the way, so I'll be good. But I mean, he would always be one that he had his hands in his pockets, he'd jingle change. I do the same thing, and I don't know why, but we can become creatures of habit sometimes, or you hear people say, "You look just like your dad," or "You act just like your brother." We go through life a lot of times picking up these things. One of the funniest things, I don't know why he did it, he always put peanuts in his hand, and he would shake them, you know. And I'd always ask him, "Dad, why do you do that?" And he says, "It gets the salt off of them." That, I don't know why he said that, because it never worked. But I can find myself, tells you I tried it, I can find myself doing the very things that my father did. And there are a lot of things we do or we act out because we are a product a lot of times of two things that I could think of. First of all, the choices we make. We're a product of the choices that we make. Also, the other is we're a product of, a lot of times we become a product of our environment, of what we see. So this morning I want us to notice with these scriptures and knowing that without Christ, there is none righteous, nobody. It's only Christ in me that there's anything good. Let's look at some of the history that Paul talked about before and look at things that we need not be. In Romans chapter 1, just back up a little bit. Look at verse 18. This is in times past, before the law. In Romans 18, the Word of God says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working with which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet." And we can go on and read the end of this chapter, and we see in times past who these men were and what they had become. And I'm sure a lot of them were from how they were raised and how they were brought up. Before the law, man being wise became what? A fool. Then you also have in chapter 2 of Romans, you have the Jew. those who had an advantage, who had the oracles of God. And in chapter 2, verse 1, Steve and I talked about this, how he points out in this letter, it looks like a single person, but there were many Jews, I believe, that were this way. But he says, therefore thou, and look at verse 1, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judge doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to the truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? So even the Jew having the law, what about those who would read the letter during Paul's time, that Gentile that he wrote to? Look at chapter 2 and look at verses 14, 15, and 16. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. That picture of accusing or excusing, it's great when before we get in trouble, we always either will say, well, I didn't know, or we just make an excuse of it. Or the man that would accuse somebody else that taught him that, and that's why he was that way, knowing it was written in his heart. In verse 16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So we have in these two chapters, Paul is going over a history lesson of how man was before the law, how the Jew was with the law, with the oracles of God. And there are areas that are important to us to get us to where we believe, what we believe, and why we believe it. But it's clear as you were to read these two chapters that there is none righteous. There's very vile people in this word. And the only difference in them are the things that they didn't know, or the things that they did know that they rejected. And we're no different except for the fact that we have trusted in what Christ did for our salvation. And it changes us. Those are things we need to remember. The Jew who wasn't with Peter, who had rejected what Peter preached, who Peter told now to read Paul's epistles, were also in this group. If you look at chapter 2, verse 25, Paul's audience became huge. That flock was no more. The only way to be saved was by the grace of the gospel of Christ. In verse 25 it says, for circumcision, look what the Apostle Paul says, for circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, which they were, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. The Jew at this point, Paul was telling them, you are no different than the Gentile. Peter, in 2 Peter, makes it clear in 3, 15, and 16 that they need to read Paul's epistles. And we had come way at this point right here. We're all could only be saved by the grace and the gospel of Christ. And that Christ died for us, that He forgave us of our sins, and was resurrected. Amen? We need to remember those things. Look at Romans chapter 3. And notice in verse 13 what Paul reminds them, as it is written, he gives the Jew back the Scripture. He goes on, he says, their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. In other words, they used flattery. They could make somebody else look bad by making them look good. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. Of course, what we heard last. There is no fear of God before their eyes. We know this was to the Jew because we are not given a spirit of fear. But these people were people who were without Christ, who did not understand the gospel of the grace of God. or they either rejected it. We're the same as they are without Christ. Romans 3:25. I believe it is. No, it's not. I'm sorry. It was 2:25. Look at the verse again. For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, who Paul said they were, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. The audience at this point was everybody. It was everybody. They were counted as uncircumcised. Paul's audience now was all Jew or Gentile. Now, I thought about this. In all the different classes of these people that we just went back and of today, what was the problem? The problem was, if you'll remember, the Gentile was so wise he became a fool. The self-righteousness. That was the issue with self-righteousness. What about the Jew who was doing things, who was telling somebody how to be, and they weren't keeping it themselves? Self-righteousness. Self-righteousness was the big problem. Can I tell you today, self-righteousness, selfishness is the big problem. It is the big problem. When I first started seeing the truth in the Word, I couldn't get enough. When I started recognizing for 20 years, when I started recognizing that things I didn't have answers for, that I would ignore or say something that sounded theological, all of a sudden, I just couldn't get enough. It was like a peace I never thought existed. I can't tell you the times I would go home after teaching a class and could not remember or could not have an answer to something I gave an answer to. Knowing within myself there was no peace in that. That's self-righteousness. That's to look right when you know you're wrong. But when I grasped this, I wanted to show everybody. I couldn't read enough. I just couldn't get enough. I mean, I think I gained 30 pounds eating with Steve. You know, I would eat every week, you know. You got to put it together. I mean, he would talk and I would eat. I'd get about two words in, I'd eat again, he'd start talking. But I wanted to show everybody. I wanted everybody to feel the way I did. I can remember it just like it was yesterday. It didn't matter what happened to me. I didn't really care. It was a faith that I knew beyond a shadow of doubt at all costs was worth knowing. And that was the faith, not of me, it was the faith of Christ. Those are things we need not forget. I saw youth, I saw adults, friends around me that had been with me for years, that if I went from one church in 5 years to another, that they went with me and helped me build programs. That the whole time we really thought we were doing what we needed to do. So I saw youth, adults, friends around me actually just light up. It was as though we ourselves understood a revelation that was literally given to us. But as time continued and truth became a decision, friends, adults, and youth seemed to disappear. They just seemed to disappear. And knowing this truth that I was determined to stay with, it was amazing what I used to always fit with everybody, I no longer fit, but still had the same peace. I was a different person with answers that I knew were right, beyond a shadow of a doubt because of what the Word said, not because of what Steve said or somebody else I met with. It was because when we would talk, we would open up the Word. It wouldn't matter what we said, it mattered what the Word said. And the Bible proved it. But as time consisted over these 3 years, debate after debate, I had nobody show me scriptures where they were wrong. As a body of believers, what is the most important thing today? Last night the Scripture was clear. Because if you're not careful with the statement I just made, where I said, debate after debate, I had nobody show me where the Scriptures were wrong. I was not careful enough to say, somebody show me the Scriptures where I was wrong. We have to be very careful as a body of believers that the only thing that makes us right at all is what the Word says and the faith of Christ. Last night the Scripture was clear to me, no matter how right I was, the only difference in myself and the others that I have brought up is whether they have trusted in what Christ did or they did not trust in it. It's very easy to set that aside and become self-righteous ourselves. As a grace believer, though I had become more interested in proving that I was right, I at times became self-righteous within myself. The most important thing becomes whether somebody thinks I'm right or not. The issue, I lose the heart of the matter of what Christ had done for them. There are many times that I've found myself trying to prove that I'm right. There are many times that I've belittled the one who isn't a mid-Acts believer. There have been many times that I've seen myself better than others because of what I know. Because it's not been proven wrong. Even though I am no different as a person, and neither are you, I believe if we could keep this Scripture that I'm about to share in our heart and mind, it would change the very way that we should approach others. Because I believe as a body of believers, that's how we need to be careful. And so look with me in Romans chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. The audience is all the same now. It's not Jew or Gentile. The audience is all the same. Verse 19 says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world, that's everybody, may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." We need to realize that's who we are without Christ. There's nothing good in our flesh at all. And as we approach others, it's important how we know who we are. It's only because of Christ. Look how similar, if you go to times past, in verse 120, what does it say? Without excuse. Notice what 320 says. No flesh justified. Not a bit of the attitude of God changed. Not a bit. It's the same. This is us without the faith of Christ by which we are saved. No flesh is justified. These are also those who have not seen clearly what we have. Why is this so important to remember? I think it's so important for us to remember who we are without Christ is so that all may know. Are we right because we measured up or because Christ measured up? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You saw it this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is a reason why it's important. If you'll notice, chapter 5 and verse 18. Kind of takes me out of the way. "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself, not by us, but by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." The commitment is not anything that we know or that we are, but everything that Christ did and what He is. And when our heart and mind are on the things that we need people to see this, because they need to know this truth, instead of Paul's just proving that we're right or we can debate better, then we won't miss the main focus. And as a rightly divider, I could find myself getting so angry at people that wouldn't see it that I made it more about myself than the heart of the matter, that they're lost as they can be. And so I thought that's the best thing that I could share with the body of believers, is to know there are many who don't know that are no different than us except for the fact that we trusted in what Christ did. We need to know that. We need to have a heart of that. It's not because we are right. It's because He is right. And when we can do that, go to Ephesians chapter 3 and notice what the Apostle Paul said. I love these scriptures with the Apostle Paul because he doesn't put himself in the light in any way. In Ephesians chapter 3 verse 9, this is something we've been doing on Sunday mornings. But the Word of God says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Not as for to show them that we're right. What is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. I always stop there for some reason, but I realize that's the worst place I can stop. Their attitude ought to be that Christ was so right and that without Him, there's nothing good in us, that we get it so much that our issue isn't to prove that we're right, but for all to see this mystery so that all could be saved. So much so, look at verse 10. To the intent, you ever heard somebody talk to you and say, look, I want you to do that, and you knew they did it to the intent that they got your attention. There was times where I would get away with a lot. But I knew when my parents said something, or my kids know when I say something in a certain way, it's with an intent. It got their attention. And the Apostle Paul wants to get our attention. He says in verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which, of course, which we know was the gospel of the grace of Christ, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things, notice who it's about, by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church, that's the body, the manifold wisdom of God, so much so that the intention ought to be that even those things in heavenly places would recognize the wisdom of God, which I always thought they already knew. But by the way that we approach and the way that we show people that God is right and that His Word is perfect, it not only shows to the physical individual, but to the things we can't even see. That is an intention. And those are the things we ought to focus. And if we don't recognize that we're no better than anybody else without Christ, we will become self-righteous and miss the focus. So how do we do this? I'm glad you asked. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Another place that I so fail to go to because I get caught up in a lot of scriptures that are very important. But I think all the scriptures are important. They're all God-inspired. Notice what 2 Timothy chapter 2, after 15 says. Notice in verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. That should be a desire, and it will be if we recognize that what Christ did, and not ourselves. Verse 22 gives us direction. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of what? A pure heart. Not to prove themselves right, but to prove that God is right. Notice also what he says with the direction. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid. I tell you what, when I grasped the grace message, I went back and all the things that I'd learned, I had made, if I wasn't careful, I would make these things like eschatology and all these things so important, and they were not, that they were important in what I knew, it was important in what the person knew. Self-righteousness can affect all of us, even grace believers. And we miss the point. But he says in verse 23, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do generate strife. Here's the answer. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. I don't know why I just thought of this. The other night we were at the church and Mark and I and some others sitting around talking about something, and Steve just let us talk and talk and talk. And we missed one word. The word was. And Steve just let us talk forever. And finally we looked at Steve like, okay, give us the answer. And he goes, well, I just noticed the word was, and it just took care of. But he was patient. Sometimes it's not about winning the argument or butting into the conversation. It's about being able to teach, being gentle, being tender-hearted. Sometimes it's not about us. And that the word's so clear, it says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness. Boy, I miss that a lot. Instructing those that oppose themselves. If God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the knowledge of the truth, that they would change their mind about the truth. And verse 26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. What's the snare of the devil? It's to deceive. It's to make everything else important, but the very things that Christ did for us. Amen? Snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. It is very encouraging to see a body of believers come together, especially when there are times you wonder if there are any. I mean, there are people that they miss these things, and these things are important. But to have this and go home to win a debate or to show ourselves at all would be to hinder the ministry by which we're called. It's the ministry of reconciliation. Now, no matter how smart or right we think we are, doesn't save us any more than anyone else. What Christ did saves us and can save others. That should be the key. I think the most important decision as a grace believer is that we understand it's only because of Christ. Do you want others to know because of Christ or because of you? It's easy to get caught up in self. Be careful. We magnify Paul's office, the gospel of Christ. Please don't magnify self. Don't recognize yourself as the righteous one, but that it's Christ in you. Will remind us what Obed shared last night about there is none righteous, that this flesh is not justified. It's Christ in us. It's justified. And that would be the very thing that I would share if I could share with a body of believers that believe in grace, is to know that there are others that need this message. And if we're apt to find out ourselves and being right and being self-righteous, they will miss it every time. Every time. Because Christ will not be glorified. Let's pray. God, we thank you this morning for your word and your truth. It's extremely clear in your word that there are directions for us to take so that others could see the fellowship of the revelation of the mystery which you have given us, because we have trusted in what you did. And may that be the message that we share. God, Your Word is very clear. Sometimes we find things that are that we're so wrong about. God, there's so many things that we find out that we are right about. But it's only because of the things You said and not what somebody else said. And so we thank You that Your Word is clear, that we know we're saved. But may it also be clear to us that others need to know this message. And that self-righteousness will stay way out of the way. That we share these things because we love and we want people to know this. Not because we want them to think we are somebody. We thank You for Your Word and Your truth. And we give You all the glory. In Your name we pray. Amen.